Let's move up to modern times, a simple case of absolute beneficiary. In 1973, Noel and Gwen were in their late 30s. They lived on a new estate and had just purchased their home. They had two daughters, Jane, aged 7, and Gemma, aged 9, plus a mortgage on their house. They had no life insurance. The company where Noel worked as a forklift truck operator did not provide any employee benefits. Gwen was a carer for the local authority. In the case of Noel and Gwen, it was patently obvious that some low-cost and effective mechanism for life insurance needed to be put in place to protect the children in the event of either of their parents' death. The surviving spouse would need income to support the children and maintain a domestic presence. The type of policy envisaged would not accumulate a cash value. It was term insurance. Therefore, the contract was of no personal financial interest to the life insured, because the only time that the policy would have any value would be in the event of either of their deaths. Question is, who should the benefits be paid to? The spouse or the children? How would Richard the Lionheart have dealt with the situation? If the insurance was placed in trust, who would benefit? Well, if it was the children, if they were the named beneficiary, what would be the position of a new brother or sister when they arrived? Where an absolute trust was used, then the person to benefit would be the named individual, and therefore the perception could arise that a new brother or sister would be excluded from any benefit under that particular policy. It does happen. A discretionary trust would allow additional or alternative beneficiaries to be incorporated. Bear in mind that a family income benefits style of term insurance would run for the duration of the child's dependency, and that may well be until the child is aged 21. In this case, we're considering a 7 and a 9-year-old child potentially benefiting from the original trust. One of those children requires 12 years of cover, and the other requires 14. A new baby would require 21 years. Individual policies are appropriate, therefore, for each child. What would happen if one of the beneficiaries, a child, dies? The policy for that child's benefit would continue until premiums were suspended, but unfortunately, the benefits of the insurance would not be available for anyone else. Any alternative child or any other beneficiary without a court order, due to the nature of the absolute trust. The parent, life insured, at the point of time under consideration, is alive and paying into a policy that, perceptively at least, if not factually, is pointless to continue. In the midst of personal grief over the death of a child, would any parent, given even the briefest thought to the fact that the deceased is a beneficiary under one of the life insurance policies? What if a spouse were nominated? The advantage of naming a spouse as the beneficiary is that if additions to the family do arrive on the scene, and for some reason cover has not been adjusted to the circumstances by the implementation of a new policy and trust to benefit the new arrival, then at least if the life insured is the parent and that parent dies, the surviving spouse has control of the money for all of his or her children without constraint or compromise. In this instance, one of the oldest forms of family trust was suggested. It was envisaged that each policy would be written under the Married Women's Property Act 1882.